Political parties have downplayed the impact of Nana Akufo-Addo's IEA encounter on the political fortunes of the NPP. The General Secretary of the NDC, Johnson Asiedi-Nketiah, believes Nana Addo's performance was below average.
It was a very appalling performance. I don't think that, he deserves to be president at all. Because he gave the impression that he was going to get a specific policy initiative and then tell us about the funding sources and other things. He ended up not being able to, discharge that obligation at all. Let me refer to just a few. There was a thing about the drug menace in the country, and that Nana Addo as president, what would he be doing? Then he carefully dodged the question and said that if he provides correct education, the youth will not go into drugs, without telling us what he will be doing about the drug barons who are bringing the drugs and encouraging the youth. Who said that the youth in secondary schools don't engage in drugs? And so therefore, if you are able to send everybody to secondary school, then that is a solution for the drug menace. It was so disappointing. Now, he was asked about specific institutional changes that he will effect to be able to fight corruption effectively. Then he said that he will be using his personal example, that he will make sure he himself personally is not corrupt. I thought that NPP had defeated that argument long ago. When Kwame Pienim came out and said that Professor Mills was incorruptible, the response was NPP was documented. They said that fighting corruption is not about a single individual, the leader being incorruptible. It takes policy initiatives. Now, when you are pinned down and say, suggest those policy initiatives, you are not able to pinpoint one, just to say that you will be incorruptible, so you think that everybody will be incorruptible, and that you will be prosecuting wrongdoers. Who said that NDC has not been prosecuting corrupt people? So that one too was very disappointing in my view. And then when he was asked about how he was going to fund the free education, he ended up saying that put certain figures together and concluded wrongly that the total cost involved will be about 1.3% of GDP. And so when he takes 1.3% of GDP, he should be able to finance education. And I'm saying that maybe he did not understand what GDP means. GDP means the total value of goods and services in the country, including my house from where I'm speaking, including your bed, including everything in Ghana. So that is not government revenue. That is the total value of goods and services in the whole country. So if they are talking about taking one-third or 1.3% of it, it means that you are going to levy some taxes.
The CPP described it as a one policy presentation by Nana Addo. The party's director of communication, Ni Amar Konfra, explained that a chunk of his presentation was focused only on education.
It was a one policy presentation because largely it was a presentation that focused on the education. Lots of details on education, but not lots of details on some of the other issues that he raised himself. It was a competent performance, certainly, but not as a visionary and as inspiring as Dr. Sakara's presentation. So as far as we're concerned, Dr. Sakara's presentation would have won the encounter. While Dr. Sakara inspired the whole nation, yesterday's performance, competent performance, but not as inspiring as the presentation of Dr. Sakara. And as I've said, largely a one-policy presentation. Lots of focus on education. But, he talked about creating jobs, but he provided no details about how the jobs were going to be created, other than said creating an opportunity economy. When he talked about a new economy, there was nothing new about what he had to offer in terms of a new economy. So what exactly is the new bit about the economy? When he talked about transformational leadership, there was nothing transformational about what he had to say, and it remains to be seen exactly what is transformational about what he was saying. He said he was determined to fight corruption. Many people will ask whether he was not part of a government whose national chairman told the whole nation that contractors were taking money to the castle and money was being shared out of car boots, on health. He had an opportunity to outline exactly what the MPP's policy was going to be on health. Instead, he chose to do propaganda on how the NDC is collapsing the service, because to say that he is going to revive the NHIS is not a new policy. The NHIS exists, and he needed to tell Ghanaians exactly what he was going to do differently to take care of child mortality or maternal mortality, or the need to have more midwives, or the need for the poor to have greater access to the NHIS premium, you know, be able to afford it. On gender, he failed woefully, because everybody understands that there's an affirmative action bill in the pipeline, and also a many people in this country who support the gender agenda know that we need to move towards quota system. He failed to talk about what the MPP is going to do in terms of even their parliamentary candidates. Many of us are offering 30%. Many of us are offering a quota number of women, either ministerial positions or, you know, in public life.
The director of communication of the PNC, Henry Asante, believes Nanado was evasive in most of his answers.
I think, you know, he elaborated a lot, gave some discourses, but then there are certain questions, still more questions to be answered than what some of us said. It is clear, but what yesterday might convince a lot of people that the solution is in sight. But if questions are posed or statements are made and the difficult answers are not forthcoming, then most of us may have a problem, or some of us may have a problem. In the area of education, I think he gave us figures, which is very significant. This was in contrast to what he did on BBC when he told the whole world that he will only divulge this information to Ghanaians. And if the figures he gave are anything to go by, then I think Ghana is in a leeway of making it good in the next generation. But to a very simple question from the 8-year-old child as to how he will do in the area of education regarding the private sector, I think the aspirant was shortcoming. He was not very forthright with his answers to that effect. And if that is also a basis for some people to reason between the lines, then more questions than answers need to be asked.
Apart from some of the answers you had problems, can you give us another angle that struck you?
There are so many other issues, but then probably the time constraint did not permit him to elaborate much. That is why some people are calling for extension of time.
The PPP also believed Nanado could have done better with his answers. Richmond Kilson is a member of the communication team.
I believe the script itself wasn't that bad. The delivery was also quite okay. My concern here has to do with the question and answer time or the period. And indeed, I'm going to take two areas where there was this little girl of 8 years who asked Nanado what he was going to do to the private education. Of course, the little girl was making a reference to Nanado's and, of course, the MPP's position that is going to sponsor education from the kindergarten to senior high school free. And so the little girl wanted to know what his take was on the private schools as well. And the answer that he gave to me was very untenable. Because, you see, the only solution to the dichotomy here is that if you're able to strengthen the public schools properly to the standard of the private schools, then, of course, Ghanaians will have a choice. And so if it is possible for somebody to go to the public school to get 9-1 or to get 8-1 or 6-1, just ask that person or that cool girl or boy who also goes to the private school, then it means you are offering credible alternatives to the Ghanaian people to make a choice. A choice that, look, if you go to the public school for free, you can still be guaranteed of a very good result. Then, of course, people can say that, look, yes, based on the fact that there's a state sponsorship of the public school, I'm taking my child there because the end result will be the same as the private school. So his answer on that, as far as we are concerned, was very much untenable. Then lastly, I believe somebody who wants to lead this country, now the honest lie on you to really tell us what you intend doing with corruption. But first of all, giving yourself up for scrutiny. Is it a question of saying I'm not corrupt? Why? Who come and tell them that I'm corrupt? What are the indices, what are the indications to show us that, look, this man means to fight corruption because himself is not corrupt? And like Dr. Ndum said, he says he's going to declare he's also going to declare funding of his political party. He's also going to declare his tax return. And these are the things that we expect Akufo-Addo also to say, because that is the only way that he can have the moral right, turn on the moral limit to deal with corruption in all its ramifications. And anything short of that, we don't buy it at all.
Those were reactions from some political parties on the performance of the MPP flag bearer, Nana Akufo-Addo, at yesterday's IEA's encounter.
Policy think tanks have also been commenting on some of the issues raised by the MPP flag bearer, Nana Akufo-Addo, at his encounter with the IEA. The program's officer at the Center for Democratic Development, Paul Abrampa, suggested the encounter should be translated into the local languages.
I think with the beginning of IEA's platforms and other platforms, we are beginning to generate interest in issue-based campaigning rather than allowing political parties and their sympathizers to go wayward with any personality attacks and issues that are not pertinent to the development of the country. And we need to encourage more of such platforms. Not reducing it to only presidential candidates. I guess it should go beyond presidential candidates, rope in vice presidential candidates, parliamentary aspirants, and if we can even have general party structures responding to some of these questions after their president has made a speech, I think they are all part of building democracy and governance in the country. So going forward, what I would advise for any set platform, I think we should allow the other media houses who have diverse language spoken in their platforms to also be part of it, objectively, specifically, strategically, rope them in so that they can also transmit some of these things for people to also listen to. Now, fortunately, in every corner of the country, we have either local radio station or community radio station who pick feeds from the national stations. So I think, yes, the platform, but I know it's going to be very expensive. But in coming years, I think in proposing for some of these debates, we should also propose and factor into it how dissemination will be enlarged.
The Executive Secretary of Ghana Integrity Initiative, Vitus Azim, said he was not satisfied with some of the answers from NANADO, especially those on corruption.
I have tried not to judge the individuals, but maybe to talk about the issues. Because IEA probably needs to come out with the indicators for judging them. I will look at how the fellow was, how nice the fellow spoke. I will look at the content, the ideas that he tried to propagate. What are we using to make a judgment? So I've decided that I wouldn't make any personal judgment. I specifically asked a question on corruption. I asked for three specific things he would do with regards to the legal framework and three things he would do with regards to the institutional framework that will help him in his commitment to fight corruption. And I was expecting that he would say that, look, when I come into office, for example, I'm just giving an example. Before I swear in a minister, he would have handed over his asset declaration to the audit service. Or if I come into office, the right information builder has been pending for so long, I'm going to work with parliament to get it passed into law. He could not say that. He did not want to commit to that. Or to say that if I come in, I'm going to make sure that the Commission on Human Rights and Civil Justice gets more resources or gets powers to prosecute cases in court. This he did not respond and he did not talk about. He only mentioned the separation of the Attorney General from the Minister of Justice. And what he said was that he was there as Attorney General and the Minister of Justice, and he did not have any problems performing the two roles. But since then, he knows that there have been problems. Maybe he is a different person. So it is not the individual, but it is the institution that needs to be reformed to be able to perform better. And so judging from that, the answers to the corruption, I think, were not satisfactory.
A member of the Ghana National Education Campaign Coalition, Bright Appiah, said though NANADO performed creditably well, he should have touched on more relevant issues on education.
I think that with the information that he has given in relation to how he'd want to implement it, I think it's explicit and it gives a sense of direction in terms of the way he'd want to approach the policy itself. And looking at the cost component that they were able to analyze and in the context of the system that they want to use in implementing the policy, I think that is also okay. And also, one interesting thing about this particular policy that I see as unique is the component that he is going to fund to call his policy as a free SHS policy. So I think that on the whole, I think he has touched on most of the issues that are needed for the implementation of the policy. But however, we feel that there are other issues that need to be tackled in relation to how he'd want to deal with the compulsory aspect of it. We were expecting that probably he would touch on the fact that he would going to enact a law to also sanction parents that would not take their children to school so that we can see how that we can implement the policy. Whatever he wants to do as a government is to look at making SHS education free. So coming from that angle, the people of all that he wants to do in the country is centered on education. So on that basis, whatever amount that he commits in achieving that policy will be worth the cause that he wants to pursue. So on that basis, we can say it is feasible and it's something that when he's committed to it, he will be able to achieve it. But there are other issues that for us, we think that he should address to make the policy very comprehensive.
Member of Ghana National Education Coalition Campaign, Bright Appiah.
Radio Ghana has been speaking to a cross-section of Ghanaians on the performance of Nanado at yesterday's encounter with the IEA.
His performance was very, very good. Everything I expected, he said it. About his education, I think the policy on education, he did very, very well. The way he's going to find the money and how he's going to do it, I think it was spot on.
Small girl's question about international schools and preparatory schools wasn't answered. You are going to give free education from basic, which is already free. So how would we benefit from it? Because most of us believe that quality is very, very important. That's why we are paying our children to go to international school. So how do we benefit from it?
Actually, the speech wasn't bad, but the certain sector to lay emphasis on, especially with the human resource sector, you understand, because we can have a growing economy and the people themselves are not developed, you understand. How to develop the people with the technical skills and what mechanisms have they put in place after those people are graduated from polytechnic and this vocational institution, how best those skills be put to use.
I'm very much impressed as to how he went about showing how he was going to implement the free education.
Those were views of some Ghanaians on Nanado's performance at IEA's encounter yesterday.